So this morning, we come to the fourth session in our four-part series in Exodus, which we've called Transitions, a people on the move. One of the names that we find in Scripture that's been given to God, it was Abraham that said it, you remember, on the mountain when he took his son Isaac up there, thinking that he was going to sacrifice his son. God provided, you may remember, a goat as a substitute. And Abraham, at that point, called God Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. And throughout the history of God's dealings with his people, in many, many ways, he has shown himself to be just that. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And right the way down to our day, we can all say that in one way or another, we have all seen the generosity of God in our lives. This can be in a very personal sense, or it can be applied to God's people altogether. So each of us, I guess, if we had the opportunity or the time, could think of ways in which God has provided for us personally in our lives. But together as a congregation, you could say the things that God has done for the church in Seer Green and the way that he has blessed and helped and provided over the years. I believe that we should consider both of those elements this morning. In the book of Exodus, we're seeing how God brought his people out of slavery in Egypt. And as they journeyed towards the lands that God had promised to give them, he watched over them, he protected them, and he delivered them in all sorts of situations that they encountered along the way. And in this chapter that we've just read, we see how he provided each family with the essentials for living: water and bread. And what I've got to say, I've got under three headings, you'll know. See, I'm a really good Baptist. Hey, by the way, next Sunday morning, Julie and I are going to a Baptist church. Where we're living, we're very close to Finch Hampstead Baptist Church. And our daughter has already sort of linked up with them over the months. And they've reached a point where you can sign in and go and be in the building. So she's booked us in for next Sunday morning. So we're looking forward to that. So the three bits that you'll see, I timed what I'm going to say this morning. As a whole, it's only 13 minutes, so that shouldn't be too. I think it will probably be slightly longer than that. But I've divided it into three bits: a blessing, a promise, and a warning. And I want to begin with a blessing, and I hope you won't mind. But I wanted to make one of my three points a bit of personal testimony. It's always good, isn't it, to hear someone's testimony of how God has blessed them and how he's been leading them. So I just wanted to share this with you because as you've already heard, that Julie and I are at present in the throes of moving house. The big day, God willing, will be this coming Wednesday. But for months now, we have been up to our necks in paperwork, estate agents, solicitors, and finance. And I have to confess that I have found this quite stressful. I hope I hide my stress as best I can, but I find it quite stressful. And when it comes to finances and figures, my eyes tend to glaze over, and I get completely lost and confused. If anybody starts talking numbers to me, my brain shuts down somehow. But my God will supply all my needs. And one provision that he has made for me personally, knowing my incompetence in this area, is the gift of a wife. The other day I was reading in Proverbs 31, where it talks, the heading is the wife of noble character. And as I read that description, you're probably familiar with it. It's just a description of Julie. It's just remarkable, apart from the red underwear. But apart from that, it's a wonderful description. So one of God's provisions for me personally is Julie. What a blessing. And as we come to this particular milestone in our walk together with God, I find myself looking back and thanking him for the way that he's provided for us over the 50 or so years that we've been on this journey together. This new home that we're moving to will be our 14th since we married in 1969. We started out in one room in my mother's house, and we put up with that for about 3 weeks, I think it was. Well, the room's all right. It was just the fact the other people that lived in the same house, it was difficult to live with. So we found ourselves another home, which was the top floor, the first floor in the house with which we shared with a couple downstairs. We had the upstairs, and which was very simple but wonderful. We enjoyed that. And then we moved from there to a flat, and then from there to a house. And then we moved to, we lived behind and above a shop. We lived there for a number of years, and Julie ran the shop as a business. While I was in college, she supported me by running a business, which was remarkable. And then we moved from there to our first pastorate in a church manse, which we thought was like a palace. It was just wonderful to live there. And then eventually we bought our own house, and then we lived. Then we moved from there to another manse, and from there to another manse, and then into a flat, and then here to this house. And on Wednesday, we moved to another house. The reason I'm sure you're not at all interested in the number of places that we've lived or what they look like, but I wanted to mention it because all the way through that, at every point, God has provided for us in most remarkable ways. When I worked in industry for 8 years, and then when I finished my job and we went into full-time Christian work, we went into what was called a faith work. In other words, we were simply supported by people's donations and help in that way. And we saw over and over again how God provided for us and supplied exactly what we needed. Sometimes he left it right until the last minute, it's sometimes what God does, you know. And I think he leaves it till the last minute just to show us that he's in control and that we're not. Through the whole business of selling the house here and moving and buying another house, it has, in some ways, it's all just come together just in the last week. And at times we've wanted it to happen much sooner. But it's almost, and all the way through this process, we've reminded ourselves of those verses in Proverbs, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on him. Don't lean on your own understanding, but trust him. And I think he does that. You know, he takes us right to the edge in order to say, I'm in control. You can trust me. And we've seen that over and over again down through the years. But I wanted to make that point, and just to say that But God, I thank God this morning that he has provided for us, and the house that we're moving to is his provision for us. And he's also provided the channels through which these blessings have come to us, individuals within the body of Christ, people that have helped us over the years, churches that have helped us over the years. And we've seen how God has used people to bless us and provide for us. And also, I don't know if you remember, but some time ago, I know I spoke to you. You probably don't remember this, you know, but I spoke to you about a passage in Exodus chapter 33, which has been precious to us over the years, where it's what I would call a life passage, where Moses says to the Lord, we don't want to go up from here unless you go with us. And then the Lord says to Moses, I will go with you, and I will give you rest. And I think I said to you then that passage of scripture has just turned up coincidentally at various situations, points in our lives. And remarkably, someone would preach on it, we would read it in a book somewhere, or it would turn up in some way or other. And just 2 weeks ago, those of you who follow the Scripture Union Notes Encounter with God will know it's been going through Exodus quite painfully, I find, you know, all those lists of stuff. But anyway, it just so happened on the day that Julie and I signed the contracts for the house sale, the reading in those reading notes was Exodus 33. And it was just such a confirmation from God. You know, he provides. It's amazing. And so that's my testimony today. Sorry, if any of you nodded off, you can come back. Come back now. And I'd like us to sing something. I'd like us to sing about the Father's love for us, because he is such a good and generous Father to us all, not just to us, of course, all of us. How deep the Father's love for us. The second thing that I wanted to mention, I put under the heading of a promise. Since I started thinking and praying in preparation for today, I heard two sermons on subjects that seemed to resonate with this. One of the things we've been doing is sort of going online and looking at the different churches in the area where we're moving to. And I don't know how. The thing is, Julie and I have always, when we've moved, we've always moved to be in a particular church. And so this is the first time we're moving into an area and we've got to go church shopping. And I don't know how you do it. I have no idea how we're meant to do this. So what we've been doing, and of course we can't do what you would normally do, sort of turn up at different churches on a Sunday and, you know, take your tick box and work out which you like and which you don't like, but we've not been able to do that. So we've had to do a little bit of going online and looking at different churches and listening to different sermons. Anyway, two that I've listened to in the last couple of weeks seems to somehow link with what we're looking at this morning, God's provision. One of those sermons was on God as the generous Father, Jesus's parable of the lost son in Luke chapter 15, or the prodigal son, we sometimes call him. And the preacher there said, you could actually call this parable the parable of the generous father, actually. The other sermon that I heard was a warning about wealth and riches in James chapter 5. So my other two points that I wanted to make this morning fall into those two categories, a promise and a warning. When the Israelites set out on their journey, they would have had little, if any, knowledge of what lay before them. They were mainly interested at first in getting away from Pharaoh and his people. What was ahead were years of unexpectedness, if that's, I don't know if that's a real word, but I've just made it up if it isn't. They had no maps. They didn't have sat-nav. They didn't have TripAdvisor. They didn't know what was coming, except that at some point they hoped they would reach the land that God had promised for them. All they had was faith in God to a degree, because I think the faith of some of them was a bit dubious. And they had a leader who was listening carefully to what God said. They were clearly, when we read Exodus, they were, and Numbers, they were clearly an imperfect bunch of people, flawed in so many ways. But what they had was a promise that the God who had delivered them would watch over them and protect them, and he would provide all they needed for the journey. It's the same for us. As we set out on our particular journey of faith, we can be assured that God is with us. He will protect us, he will deliver us, and he will provide all that we need. And that can equally apply to us as a church as much as to our personal circumstances. The promises that were true for the Old Testament people of God are also true for us, the New Testament people of God. Our God will supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. What happened in that incident in Exodus chapter 15 and chapter 16, it met personal needs. So each family would go out, and every morning they would get bread, and then the quails came and they got meat. So it was a very personal thing for each family, each individual. But it's quite clear that God was also, or mainly, dealing with the whole community of God's people. And that's how it is with us, his church. Not only does he deal with us on a personal level, he also promises to supply the needs we have as a group of his people. To be precise, as you as a church move forward into this next season, you can embrace this promise of God's provision for you as you embark on whatever God leads you to do and to be in the coming months and years. And it's not just provision of food and drink. As we see in this example of the people of Israel, his provision is much more. All your needs, opportunities, activities, finance, and personnel. In the time I've known you as a church, I've been so impressed by the gifts God has given you in terms of people. Whether that's upfront people, the people who stand on the platform or whatever, or those who quietly serve God in the background, those of you who have ministries overseas, and just the one-to-one encouragement that each of you bring to each other. These are all God's provision. They're all what God provides for us, for you. Personally, I think Andrew and Denise were a real gift at a particular time for you. And now, of course, you have the prospect of Louise and Alistair and their family joining you in the near future. Another gift that God is supplying for your needs as a church. So let's be careful always to thank God for all that he's given us in whatever form, whether it's material stuff or whether it's people. Let's be careful to give thanks and acknowledge that these things and these peoples are gifts from him. And therefore, you, I'm talking to you personally, you are a gift. You need to see yourself as a gift to your brothers and sisters in Christ, part of God's provision for what lies ahead. I just want to move on to the third thing that I wanted to say, which was in the form of a warning. I hope this doesn't spoil things for you, but there is something else in the passage in Exodus chapters 15 and 16 that stands out a mile, and we shouldn't leave it without taking note of what should be a cautionary word for us. You probably have noticed that human beings, most of us anyway, have a tendency to grumble. In England, of course, we have the gift of weather that we can all grumble about, and you hear a lot of grumbling in that respect. But here in Exodus, we see it in people grumbling. We see it in the parable of the lost son that I referred to in Luke chapter 15, where the older brother grumbles about what's happened. And we read about it in James chapter 5. I referred to that earlier on, where that I'd heard this sermon about. And in James chapter 5, after some pretty scathing words for those who focus on material things and put those things, above God who created them, James goes on to talk about being patient and not grumbling. And when we adopt an attitude of gratitude, it tends to prevent us from focusing on the negative and rejoicing in the positive. So, like for the people in Exodus, if they had adopted that attitude of giving praise to God and acknowledging his provision in so many ways, it would have prevented them from this focusing on the negative of their present experience. As we cultivate a spirit of praise in our everyday lives, we find we focus on thanksgiving to God for all he's given us, and not on the imperfections of others or the fact that things are not working out just as we thought they would. Hopefully, in the coming months, the lockdown restrictions will be lifted and we'll have the freedom as a church to do things that we've been prevented from doing over the past 18 months. It'll be great. And we look forward to that happening, of course. But I hope you won't mind me warning you about just two things as we approach this new season. The first is, we're not going back, we're going forwards. The people of Exodus kept looking back. You know how when things got difficult and challenging, they started thinking about how things were before, but you will notice they have very selective memories. So they're saying, oh, it was much better back in Egypt. You know, we sat around pots of meat, you know, and then we had, what was it? When we had garlic and I can't remember what it was, or cucumbers, thanks, Julie, and fish, I think it was. It was so wonderful. I mean, how short their memories were. It was just abysmal what they were living in before, but here they somehow selected that and they were just looking back and not looking forward. God is taking us all forwards, and there are exciting and challenging days ahead of all of us, and we need to rejoice in God as things begin to unfold. I think that's really important. I think the whole Christian church, as perhaps certainly in our country, we're seeing things improve, and things that we've not been able to do, we'll be able to do. But we've got such a God-given opportunity to take a fresh look who we are and what we do and what we pick up for the future. There will be new things to do, and it won't be as it was. We're not going backwards, we're going forwards. You know, I think certainly in some of the discussions in the ministry support team that we've had, you know, with Andrew and then since he's gone, has been that is a clear indication that we are, our language has to be that we're going forwards, not when we get back to, but rather as we move forward is quite important for us. We have learned some important lessons through this pandemic, lessons we shouldn't forget. For example, we've learned what things are essential for us as a church and which things are secondary or even not necessary at all. I think we've learned some important lessons. It would be a tragedy if we forget those lessons. So the first thing was, we're not going back. And the second is, don't grumble about those in leadership. Having been one for quite a long time, I know what it's like to suffer from that. But we are all learning. None of us is perfect. We are all flawed in some way. Grumbling always hinders, spoils, and destroys. So whenever you grumble, whenever I grumble about anything, I need to hear in the back of my head, this will not produce anything good. It is destructive. It spoils. It never makes a positive contribution to the life of the church and the advancement of God's kingdom. So the theme that we've been, I just want to say that, you know, I think, you know, as leadership changes within your own church and as Louise comes in and takes up her role, she will need your 100% support and your encouragement. Grumbling will get you nowhere. Okay, so I think it's there in the passages that we've been looking at over these four sessions. I think it's important to take note of that. The theme we've been covering in this series in Exodus is transition, people on the move. So may I encourage you to keep that theme at the back of your mind and at the heart of your thinking as the future of Seer Green Baptist Church unfolds. That we are a people in transition, we're a people on the move, we're going forward. Amen.